Welcome to module 5, the final module in this entire training. You are a rock star if you've made it this far, so congratulations. Module 5 is called Make Better Decisions Faster, How to Align Team Action. There are three big goals, as with each module. The first goal is to get clear amidst the fog of indecision and disagreement in a team. Number 2 is to establish an easy action plan that directs a team. And number 3 is learn how to effectively set priorities and gain team buy-in. Now, with these three big goals, this is all around how you're leading and making decisions on a team and how you're getting their buy-in. Now, before we get to that, though, we have to just remember briefly the built-in challenge to all teams when you build them right. You remember this from an earlier module, but I want to remind you. The first one is, you know, you want to get high octane people. You also want a diverse group of people. This is the two ingredients that are required in order to have a really good team. But what happens is when you have a diverse group of people, they're going to have different viewpoints, and that's going to threaten that sense of alignment or people pulling in the same direction. And if you have high octane people, well, that's going to mean strong points of view, which threatens the buy-in of the team. And so what you end up with is a very common story, and the common story looks something like this. The leader comes up with a big idea. They want the team to do it. They give a really rousing speech, almost like a commander to their military army. And he gives a very convincing speech about all the reasons why we want to take this hill. And then that leader charges and says, "Let's go." And he shouts out, you know, "Let's take the hill." And he turns around and looks over his shoulder to see that he is not joined by anyone. And so when he looks back, what he discovers is all of his team or his platoon standing around looking in different directions. And what happens is if he were to come back to that team and say, "Hey, didn't we just say we were going to take that hill?" And the team will say, yeah, of course we did. We said that. And the commander's like, you know, why? Why aren't we going? And you'll get a variety of responses. This is a very common experience on a team. And so you thought it was clear, but what you see is, you know, someone will say, "Oh, you mean now? You want us to take the hill now?" Another might say, "Where are we taking it?" Misunderstanding that entirely. Okay, well, that hill wasn't part of my job description. Why are we taking it? You may have told them, but they're going to actually ask the question again. Is there a bonus if we do this? And last, not least, but do you even know how to take it? Which hill was it again? So here's this, all these different reasons or questions that emerge after a leader has said, "We need to take this hill." And so what I'll do is talk you through the strategies and tactics for how you then lead a team, get their alignment and buy-in, which is one of the biggest challenges leaders face. To get there, though, we're actually going to do some work in this module on just individual decision making, just you as an individual. It's one thing to make a decision as an individual, and that can actually be quite challenging. It's another thing to make decisions as a group, and so we'll talk a little bit about each. And so let me start with this reality that there are actually two kinds of decisions that we all face at one time or another. And the first type of decision I just called type 1, which is the database decision. So this is a decision where you have lots and lots of information and data and metrics that you can actually use. A database decision is when you actually have all of the possibilities in front of you with all the information you need in order to predict or anticipate what might happen next. So, you know, in practical terms, maybe not in an organization, you know, something like a Rubik's Cube is one of these. You just need a complex series of algorithms, or in this case, simple algorithms. Poker is another great example. If you know and understand enough about poker, you can actually begin to predict and anticipate. They call it counting cards. You can literally begin to predict and anticipate just through probabilities theory what decisions you need to make that are going to get you to a better decision. Chess is the next level up of complexity, of course. It's a combination of many very advanced algorithms that can make better decisions for you. Now, those are just games, of course, but that same thing applies in our organizational life. Sometimes certain financial structures are actually rooted in just complex data sets, accounting procedures, often sales and marketing metrics. When you just get enough of the right kind of data in the right way, you end up with the ability to make really good decisions about pinpointing what you need to do. So this is my argument for why, by the way, as we have increasing amounts of computational power in the form of quantum computing and even bigger supercomputers that can do incredible amounts of calculations, along with deep learning, AI, and machine learning, which are just artificial intelligence that knows exactly how to quantify and crunch the data in near real-time speeds, you have actually an increasing number of decisions in life that are going to be predictable. And these database decisions are extremely helpful because they actually remove ego, they remove politics, they remove emotional tensions, and they create effectively kind of decisions that are free from some human error problems. And so that's a really nice thing to have. And I think over time, we're going to have more and more of access to these kinds of database decisions. So this is my case for why it's important as a leader to become more aware of the latest technologies that are coming online, as well as creating really good dashboards and scorecards where you're figuring out what needs to be measured. Again, just because you can measure something doesn't mean that that's the thing you need to be measuring. So you want to make sure you're measuring the right thing at the right frequency, and that you're getting reports back that allow you to fly your plane appropriately with the right kind of dashboard and gauges. So that's the case that I want to make for that. However, that is not primarily the focus of the kinds of decisions that I'm going to be talking about in this module, because those are actually more mathematical and technological. I'm going to be talking about the second type of decision, and that second type is type two, which is, I call it the crystal ball decisions. And I call it a crystal ball because this is where you wished to God that you had a crystal ball, because there's so many unknowns. And very often what happens is, this is where you can't predict or anticipate every possible option, where you don't have access to all the information, where you can't get enough data to make a good decision. So, you know, deciding on a spouse, it is not good to use the database decision-making protocols, which there are literally entire theories around this. One is called effective utility theory. Another is called the Ben Franklin model, where you weigh pros and cons. That's all intellectual accounting, mathematics, algorithms, things like that. You really can't reasonably apply those to choosing a spouse, deciding what job to pursue, which business strategy, organizational strategy to design. This is a world where you just do not have access to all of that information. And so the crystal ball decisions are the ones where you're going to have to rely on a different method. And too often people apply the wrong method to the crystal ball decisions. Now, I can't give you a crystal ball, as you well know, but I can give you the next best thing. Which the good news is, it's actually quite simple, and that's what I'm going to teach you in the next video. Just as a preview, I want you to see the three steps that are involved in how you go about making crystal ball decisions rather than database decisions. And again, this is where you just don't have enough access to information. Step one is connect to your why, your sense of personal why and corporate why. Two, consider your beliefs. And three, trust your heart. Now, that might seem a little cliche at that last one, but I promise you there's something really powerful and juicy in that. In the next video, I'm going to unpack each of these and what they mean, but it really is this simple. They're just a couple of simple steps. Now, what you can expect when you use this particular method is you will get a lantern for your path, not a spotlight. And a lantern provides just enough light for the next few steps on your path, not a spotlight, which can project out a mile. So you're not getting a five-year plan with this method. You're getting what are just the next few steps. And so there's a lot of trust involved in this, but it's extremely powerful when you learn to use it right. So in the next video, we'll unpack what all of those are.